You would grab your Bibles if you have them and turn it to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And when you have it, if you would please stand for the reading and honoring of God's Word. We're going to read nearly the entire chapter, not all of it, but I'd like to read and start in verse number 1. Verse number 1, chapter 10 of the book of Romans. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." It mirrors the reason or the priority of Jesus Christ in Luke 19:10, to seek and to save that which was lost. Verse 2, it says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall ascend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You bow your head and close your eyes in a word of prayer as I pray out loud. You ask God to show you and reveal some truths to you, maybe even remind you of truths that you have heard before, but that you will just take one nugget of truth that is spoken to you and apply it to your life. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time in which you have allowed the congregation of people to be here, your church, Lord. You've made provision for this unique place, Lord, for this city, Lord, to be able to hear the gospel through them. Lord, I'm so grateful for their faithfulness and their diligence, Lord, to not even create necessarily a program, but really keep the priority of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I'm so grateful for the firm foundation for which this body was set upon, and Lord, the continuance thereof through your leadership, Heavenly Father, through a yielded servant. Lord, Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful that we're able to hear your word, Lord, with hearing ears. Help us to have hearing hearts. Lord, help us to have bleeding hearts for those who are lost. And that again, we would have the passion, Lord, to share Jesus Christ with others around us. And Lord, I pray a special prayer for myself as I've prayed over, Lord, the time in which we've been together, and that I just want the tone to be set right, Lord. I don't want to do it my way, Lord. I want to do it your way. And God, I just ask that you would do a continual work inside of me. And Lord, it's a good reminder, Lord, of what it is that I need. And God, I know that the folks before me need it as well. And Lord, I'm thankful that we have it. So I ask for, by thy power, thy Holy Spirit, to fill me full with thy power, and Lord, that we would all, again, be simple doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Missions is the heartbeat of a holy and righteous God. And Oswald J. Smith said this, the mission of the church is missions. Understanding where you're at within the missions month is kind of coming on the tail end. So you'll probably and possibly even hear some things in which you've already heard before, but that's not by accident, nor is it by design. It's really God's intention to kind of help resonate the truth of the matter inside of our heart and our minds, that we would carry it forth inside of our actions that we perform every day. Missions is simply the local church being obedient to the command of Jesus Christ. And I mean the church, not just everybody and not a few people, but I mean everybody is in 100%. The church, this isn't, when I speak of the church, I speak of the individuals that are not only being spoken to here in the passage, but are being spoken to here today. It is the command of our Lord Jesus Christ to take the gospel to the whole world, reaching every single people group, establishing local churches, helping disciples to do the exact same thing. The gospel is this, is that man is a sinner. Jesus Christ is the Son of the Most Holy God, and He gave Himself as a substitute, dying on the cross of Calvary and paying that price, that penalty for the sins of the world, who rose victoriously from death and offers the free gift of eternal life to every sinner that will receive Him as Savior. Isaiah 45:22 says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, and all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." I love that verse. There is none else. Paul here is expressing his heart's desire for the souls of men, specifically his people here. He's come a long ways to this point in his life, not to turn back, but to help them come away from the same ideological living and lifestyle that he once had, the legalistic traditions of a pharisaical life, and even the outward appearance that would be adorning some righteousness in which they would conjure up themselves. He wants them to step away from that type of lifestyle and come to know and experience the liberty of God's righteousness. And even some in this room know exactly what it is that I'm talking about, because you have felt or maybe even experienced that liberty yourself. And so much in the sense that you went and you told someone else about the liberty that you have recently experienced. The reason for Israel's reaction here, in which we have read throughout the passage of the gospel, was that they chose to deliberately disobey God's word. What does that mean? They knew what God's word said, but they chose to do it their way. Another is that they refused to have an unwilling spirit. They had an unwilling spirit. They refused to have a willing spirit, is what I'm trying to say, to submit to Jesus Christ, to submit to the righteousness of God. If you look there in the passage in which we read, verse number 2, it says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God." So that there was some passion there, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant, and ignorant is just lack of knowledge, okay? For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. It's not that we cannot believe, but it's rather that we will not submit to God's way. There's a lot that I think we know. In the community where we're from, you know, the average Joe has the master's degree. That's average. The intellect is way up there. They have knowledge, and they may even reason some truth, but really they have their own righteousness. And they choose deliberately to ignore God's truth and assume their own. Is not this the most difficult thing for people in general? Because we're really talking about one particular sin. It starts with a P and ends with ride. Pride. Yeah. See, it's too humbling for our pride. It began long ago on the road to Damascus for Paul. Did he not hear the preaching of Jesus Christ before he went down that road? Well, certainly he did. The blinding light did not force Paul's surrender, but it was simply just the acknowledgement of who Jesus Christ is and his righteousness. See, after Paul willingly rejected his own righteousness and submitted to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, God used the same gift of zeal that was inside of Saul to come along with the truth and the righteousness of Jesus Christ and fulfilled the work that God had specifically designed for him. And it's the same with you. You have a zeal for something, and people know about it because you tell them. But if you don't have a zeal for it, people wouldn't know that you're even ever a part of whatever that might be. After Paul, again, was on this road of Damascus, he knew and understood that there was going to be a work for him as Ananias was spoken to God and was sent to Paul, or Saul, excuse me. And he said a specific phrase to him. He said this to Ananias, God did, speaking. He said, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel." See, just like you and me, we've been chosen as a vessel, as a conduit of God's loving grace to impart to others who do not know it. Like Saul at the time, we get to become a vessel of righteousness, God's righteousness. He is the one that has literally imputed it upon us so that even when we pray, he doesn't see anything which we have done, but all of what his Son, Jesus Christ, has done. We also, too, get to be something similar to what Paul's ministry was like and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. Now, you say, wait, hang on just a moment. We at Valley Avenue Baptist Church do not believe in women preachers, women pastors. I would concur as far as that is concerned. We are not believers either that women are to be pastors. It's contrary to God's Word. In the community in which we are at, we're the only Baptist church in the city of 35,000 people. But there are churches that have a Baptist name that maybe to the north and to the west and east and south of us that all have women pastors. And even some denominations are bringing in homosexual leaders that would call them pastors as well. That is not Bible. It's anti-scripture. But when I say preacher, okay, or preaching, I want to let you know that that is just heralding aloud what Christ has done for you. So, ladies, you can be a preacher too, okay? So I don't know if anyone has ever told you that, but if I'm wrong, of course, your pastor can strike the record and delete the video, okay? But I just wanted to let you know that here before us are identifying marks of what a chosen vessel would have or would demonstrate, and then how would the gospel even be restricted because of some of the individuals that believe in their own righteousness. And then we want to answer a question: that can a follower of Jesus Christ even be used to share the gospel? And I believe you know that answer. But again, look at the very first verse of chapter number 10. Speaking, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for to God for Israel is that they might be saved." This is Paul's burning desire that he is sharing. He is just cutting open his chest and letting his heart bleed for his people. A burning desire in his heart to see Jews saved. And later we're going to see that that same desire is shared with the Gentiles. But he was the Hebrew of Hebrews, wasn't he? He was a very well and astute trained Jew inside of legalism and the Mosaic traditions. But Paul understood, because of who he was, he understood how blind that they are, how separated that they were, how lost that they are, how guilty that they are. Paul revealed the depths of his heart by demonstrating a concern to and towards those men, excuse me. That desire, the word desire, is a passion excited by love for something. I love being around those who talk about hunting. There's a certain amount of zeal within the hunter's heart to talk about, how they prepare themselves or what type of gun that they would use, or they dare not say the secret place that they go into, but, they let them know what kind of tree stand. I like to talk to fishermen. They will tell you what rigs that they use, what fishing pole they use, what kind of boat that they have, what's the biggest fish that they've had. They don't tell you about the days they never caught anything, though. But you consider the zeal that other people have about cars. People have about farming implements. Folks that have about their grandkids. There's a lot of zeal in the things in which you like to speak of and talk about, the things that you love. This is the desire that Paul had, a desire that we should have and share with other people. Chapter 9, verse number 1 of the book of Romans. You can flip there if you want. You don't have to. You can listen. But he says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. Listen to these words. My conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. I mean, he's really serious about what it is that he's about ready to say. That I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in heart. He's really just demonstrating his passion, his zeal, his burden, his inescapable pressure for the people to know and trust Christ as their Savior. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. That's something similar to what even Moses had said. He had a heart for the people. He didn't want the people to be destroyed by God in his righteous indignation. But Moses besought God for the people. And Paul's even going out and a little further on the limb. He's like, I'd be accursed. I want you to know Christ. Strike my name from the record. I want you to know who he is. This is his passion, his zeal. It's the same burning desire that he had for the Jews. It drove him to advance the gospel all throughout the known world at the time. You would see in Acts chapter 20, verse 31, you would see in Ephesus. He said this, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. In Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 9:16, he said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing of glory, for necessity is laid upon me. This is what he said, yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. He said this to the church at Thessalonica, chapter 2, verse 8. He said, so, and this is another great phrase to grab onto. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear to us. Have you ever thought about that? Some of your unsaved loved ones whom you love with a passion. I mean, if someone was to offend them, you would be the first one in front of them, right? You have that heart, that zeal for that individual or little individuals that you are in charge of taking care of. But do we carry that same passion, that same zeal to those who are lost and without Christ? You know where they're going, especially if you've received Christ as your Savior. I mean, you know what you're spared from. And you knowing and having that knowledge and they not fully understanding, though have some knowledge or being ignorant of the knowledge, you can reveal that truth to them. But it's really ultimately a decision, and we'll get to that here in a moment. An identifying mark in every genuine servant of God is a burning desire within their heart to see that the Savior change the hearts of men. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and in spite of no converts, except for his family, he still preached a message of repentance to a perishing people. Jeremiah felt the same burning or yearning in his own bones to see that his countrymen be spared of judgment. Jeremiah 20, verse 9 says, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. I could not stay. Jesus Christ himself said this in John 9, 4. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Now, us as believers would be really excited for the day and the return of Jesus Christ to come. And you know as well as I do that he comes as a thief in the night. And you know as well as I do that life is but a vapor. It's here today, gone tomorrow. And life is withered up as dried cut grass and is blown away. You know of all these things, and we would say, yes, I agree with all of those things, but I mean, do you know that there is a very perishable place where people are going to be separated from God for eternity, and you love them. You love them. You know them. They're next door neighbors. They're in this community. They live in this county. They've worked with you for years. You may text them every day. I'm not real for sure who that is, but you do. and God does. Can we not carry the same zeal as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Can we not carry the same zeal as the prophets of old? Can we not carry the same zeal that Paul had for his people here in this passage? You may recognize the famous Scottish physician, who became a missionary to Africa. His name was Dr. David Livingstone, and he shared the gospel passionately. But he had a father-in-law who was also a Scottish missionary to Africa. His name was Robert Moffat. And I want to share with you a phrase that he said, a statement that is filled with a desire in his heart to know that people come to Christ. He said, "I have seen at different times the smoke of 1,000 villages, villages whose people are without Christ and without God and without hope in this world." Simply, missions is that inescapable pressure, that burning desire to carry the gospel to a lost and dying world. But we also carry the same responsibility as Paul did. We carry the responsibility to deliver it. Paul presents a series of questions and almost kind of ignites our thinking process on what is important here. How are we going to carry this desire forth? I want you to look at verse number 14. Chapter 10, verse number 14, he said this. He said, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." The chosen vessel will have a desire to see people to know Christ and to pray for them. They're also willing to teach or to preach or to testify the Word of God to them. You see, and you would agree that salvation is free. It transcends time and space. It knows no boundaries except that it can be limited to a degree. Limited in its effectiveness of itself? No. But limited in the messenger or the lack thereof. The gospel salvation, the way that we would receive or be saved, is found in verses 9 to 10. And I believe that many of us have that memorized already as a part of the Romans Road. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth. See, there's a condition there. There's a God-given choice there. There's a liberty to choose not to receive Christ, and there is an opportunity to receive Christ. Some folks have not been reached with that question yet. The testimony of God's glory is everything that our eyes behold. So for us to say that the glory of God has not reached the entire world, it's inside of His creation and testifies of who God is. Certainly it is around the globe. Verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The first question is, how then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And secondly, how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not have heard? Billions of people have not been reached yet with the gospel. The Joshua Project, you can search this if you want to. I looked at statistics that were before COVID, so bear with me here. I did that deliberately for my own reason. But I want you to understand that if you did fact check me, which I'm perfectly fine you doing, is the Joshua Project is a great way to be able to find information about how the gospel is moving throughout the world. Now listen to this, okay? Follow me. 17,440 plus people groups in the world, okay? 74, just a little over 7,400 of them have been unreached or are unreached, okay? 42% of the world's population. Now listen, Mongolia, 28 people groups, 22 of them are unreached, that's 78%. China, 544 people groups, 433 of them are unreached, that's 81%+ of the population. Laos, 127 people groups, 106 unreached. Iran, 94 people groups, 84 of them are unreached. That's over 89%. India, over 2,700 people groups, over 2,400 unreached. It's nearly 90% of the population. Now, they're the most dense population in all of the world, but 90% of them have not been reached. That's pretty incredible. Pakistan, 512 people groups, 504 are unreached. That's almost 100%. That's 98 plus percent that are unreached. These souls have not been reached with the gospel. I'm going to take a step back again. Listen, our eyes behold the glory of God. He created the heavens and the earth. Okay, God has testified of who He is before all people back then, today, tomorrow. But these folks here that I'm saying have not been reached with the gospel, and there's another generation that's coming not even knowing what the word salvation means. Here in the United States. I asked one young lady. She's about 32 years old in Topeka about 5, 6, 7 years ago. And I asked her, have you ever heard of God before, or Jesus Christ? And she's like, yes, but it seems like I only hear that name when somebody's mad. Did not know what salvation is, did not belong to a church. And you know, for the most part, that's the norm. That's where we're heading. We're in our country. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I opened up with a quote there by Oswald J. Smith, and he said this. He said, we talk of a second coming, but the world has never heard of the first. What is the resolution? The resolution Jesus Christ already gave. He gave us the strategy, the plan. He gave it to the first church, the disciples there. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And then he says, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always unto the end of the world. Amen. And I love that last part, because that gives me assurance that I'm not in this alone. And I can't even really mess it up, because all I'm called to do is to deliver it. All that you're called to do is to deliver it. All that you're called to do is to deliver it. You're not called to save anybody. You can't do that. And sometimes we try, and it's kind of like, it's cringy a little bit when you see someone trying to push, pull, or kick and drag someone into heaven. It doesn't really work like that. The commission encompasses everything that the Lord has in mind. Souls saved, baptized, discipled, bringing people to church, believers fellowshipping together, the planting of churches, this church, Valley Avenue Baptist Church, the next step, possibly reproducing itself. That's the design. What's the method then? Well, it's found in verse 8, chapter 10. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That, to me, is a recipe I could follow. Well, yeah, because you're a preacher. No, because it's simple. I like the KISS method. Keep it simple. I'll let you fill in the rest of it. God's chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. Then how shall they hear without a preacher? That draws another problematic issue, because there's a shortage of missionaries. Look at verse number 15 again. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Independent Baptist churches must be the factories for producing passionate preachers from the pews who are willing to take the gospel to people. Souls all over this world and in this country, you know, need the saving grace of Jesus Christ in their life. Matthew 9:37 says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The need cannot be fulfilled without those who are willing and obedient to tell other people. Remember, we have the knowledge, we know, but it's just simply about submitting what we know and doing. Years ago, there were 100,000 missionaries. Since then, we've lost 1,000 missionaries each year. 50 take their place. That's a revolving door. The back door is wide open. It takes 7 independent fundamental Baptist churches to produce one missionary. 90% of our missionaries are going to already reached people groups, and only 10% of North American missionaries are going to 50% of the unreached people group. There's an issue. It's problematic. Verse 15, the second part of that says, "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet are them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Maybe that's a simple question to ask ourselves that's not so knife-cutting to the heart, is that the glad tidings that I hold in my hand, that I believe in my heart, am I carrying them? Am I carrying them to the next person? Bring glad tidings of good things? There's none good, no, not one, I know that, but there is one good God whom we can talk about. Priority is going to be permanent inside of God's Word until we go to glory, and that is simply the obedience of God's Word. The involvement of missions starts with you personally. It starts with you, but not a lot of people want to. And even those who may be gifted with God's heritage have had a tendency to deflect them away from what it is that they even know to be true. Going into Kansas City, we knew that there would be a lot of distractions for the people who live there, and they're here too. There's just 2.5 million people over in that pocket of the country. It's not very far. You know, you've vacationed there, you've driven there, probably your family's from there. Maybe, I don't really know, but you do know this, is that sports can be a distraction, professions can be a distraction, relationships can be a distraction. Apathy is a distraction, laziness is too, and so is gluttony. There in the barbecue capital of the world, believe it or not. There's a nursery rhyme that helped me out, and I think I've shared it here once before, but I like to share it here again, and it starts like this. It says, 10 little missionaries heard God's call divine. Mom steered her child away from it, and now there are 9. 9 little missionaries to reach a world of hate, but Dad wanted an athlete, and now there are 8. 8 little missionaries to point the way to heaven, but surely you did not mean my son, and now there were 7. 7 little missionaries, but in the world did he mix, playing around, and now there were 6. 6 future missionaries, but 1 went after financial wealth, and now there are 5. 5 future missionaries to preach unto the poor, but 1 lost his burden, and now there were 4. 4 bright missionaries to preach of Calvary, but 1 fell into legalism, and now there are 3. 3 promising missionaries with glorious plans in view, but after Satan's sifting trials, there were only 2. 1 last hope missionary whom also heard the call, and you can make the difference if he stands or if he falls. Everyone must give or get involved, to listen to God's voice in the calling. It does require a certain amount of investment. And I believe that you've heard these words, this passage given from Paul to the church of Philippi when he said this. He said, "Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I parted from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit, that it may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. You see, the investor in mission goes beyond the tithe and the commitment to be a faithful partner of God. J.L. Kraft, the owner and operator and really the originator of Kraft Cheese Corporation, said, "The only investment I've ever made, which has made and paid consistently increasing dividends, is the money that I give to the Lord. A generous giver is always promising to help the messenger spread the gospel where they cannot." And that's a part that everybody can play. That's a role that everybody can get involved with. But it's not the only role. We're going to stop here tonight with this statement that was given by William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. He said, "Put your ear down to the Bible and hear Him bid you go, and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their Father's house and bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters not to come there. Then look at Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell Him whether you will join heart and soul and body and circumstances in the march to publish His mercy to the world. Not called, did you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say." You bow your head and close your eyes this evening, and I understand that you all give an invitation at this time of night. I'd like for you just to stand to your feet, and with your head bowed and eyes closed, you've certainly heard truths from God's Word. Now, the pianist is going to play, but I'd like for you to respond to those truths however you see fit. Now listen, I didn't speak to you, but God did. God's the one.